And welcome back. This is your host, Attorney Alan Edmonds, with a new case that just was adjudicated in our office. It was a contested case. And today we're going to talk about guideline D as in David, sexual behavior under the National Security Adjudicative Guidelines. We've been working our way through these guidelines, and today's case is somewhat unique, so I thought I would share it with you. The Edmonds Law Firm represented a young woman in her 20s, and it involves sexual behavior, and I want to go over the case, but first I want to talk to you about the guideline. Guideline D, sexual behavior, is a very broad guideline that covers a variety of behaviors or conduct. It can include prostitution. It can include adultery. It can include public lewdness. It can include a variety of activities. And when the Department of Defense finds out about it, the good people at Fort Meade, at DCSA, they will issue a statement of reasons. And as you know from all these podcasts, a statement of reasons is the first formal document where the government is denying or rejecting or revoking your security clearance. The concern is that the issues may raise questions about an individual's judgment, reliability, and trustworthiness, and the ability to protect classified or sensitive information. The guideline goes on to say sexual behavior includes conduct occurring in person or via audio, visual, electronic, or written transmission. And I want to stop here and talk about this. There are a number of people that on social media meet total strangers, and these strangers want to exchange very, very intimate photos, nude photos of themselves. And they send them to our clients, and then they ask that a return photo of the same or similar type of pose be sent to them. So that in itself raises guideline D, sexual behavior under conduct involving visual or electronic transmissions. Of course, the story doesn't end there. We have many clients that get caught in this sting. And young women in the Pacific Rim will send very, very provocative sexual pictures of themselves to single men in the United States or married men asking for the return of similar photos. They comply, and then they get a letter or an email from the woman saying she is going to release the pictures on social media unless she is paid a certain amount of money. And you'd be amazed at how many of these cases occur. They're not occurring with small frequency, but rather more and more people are engaged in this as social media and the various platforms take hold on our society. So this case doesn't involve that, but we do have cases that involve electronic and visual transmission. And I wanted to depart from the instant case and tell you about that. Needless to say, anyone that exchanges photos with you, they become a risk or create a risk that you're engaging in an association with those people, and it can cause a revocation of your clearance. So the guideline speaks about electronic or written transmission, and then it says something very interesting. Given the times that we're in LGBT, it says no adverse inference concerning the standards in this guideline may be raised solely on the basis of the sexual orientation of the individual. So that's important too. And if you have questions about this, I hope you'll call me at 800-481-2526. The guideline goes on to talk about the conditions that raise a security concern, and the first is sexual behavior of a criminal nature, and that's what my client in this instant case was involved in, and we're going to talk about that. And the guideline says whether or not the individual is prosecuted just because the government decides, the district attorney, for example, decides not to proceed, that doesn't mean you're off the hook. Sexual behavior of a criminal nature is still a criminal nature, whether there's a prosecution or not. And then 13B says a pattern of compulsive, self-destructive, or high-risk sexual behavior that the individual is unable to stop. You know, this is where we get into the individuals that take photographs of people in dressing rooms or underneath stairwells, and they're very, very compulsive. They can't stop taking these photos, and they get caught. That's just one type of case. The other is, of course, the use of escorts and prostitutes, where the individual engages in the use of prostitutes on a regular basis, either weekly or monthly, and it's been going on for a long time. Another area that this could be applied is an individual that's been involved in an extramarital affair. They have an affair with a woman for, or a man for 1 month or a year or more. And this raises sexual behavior concerns under guideline D. Extramarital affairs are often pled by the government as a reason to revoke a clearance. Then we get to the real concern is that these behaviors can cause an individual to be vulnerable to coercion, exploitation, or duress. And I talked about that earlier, about young women in the Pacific Rim that send pictures of themselves. They get pictures returned from the recipient here in the United States, and then they try and exploit them with a bribery attempt. The third area is sexual behavior of a public nature or that reflects lack of discretion. This is your typical issue. We recently got retained by some individuals that had engaged in lewd behavior, masturbation in a public park. They were observed. It was a sting operation, and guideline D was alleged. So then we get to the mitigating factors, because you can mitigate this, and some of them are that the behavior happened during adolescence, or the behavior happened so long ago or so infrequently. Long ago is a question of fact. It's defined by the judge. Each judge may determine a different length of time, but generally any behavior that happened over 5 years ago is long ago. So infrequent, if there is a isolated incident, you engaged in something just once, you used a prostitute just once, or you had an affair with a married person on a single occasion, and that affair was of very short duration, that's what the mitigating factor speaks to. All of this requires incredible evidence, and your attorney has got to develop that evidence for mitigation to prevail in these type of defenses. The other thing, and what occurred here in my instant case that we're going to talk about, is the sexual behavior is strictly private, consensual, or discreet. In the case that we are going to talk about today, of this young woman in her 20s, she was at a party. She drank a lot of alcohol. She met a man that she didn't know prior to the party, and they went out to his vehicle and started to have intimate contact with one another, removing their clothes in the backseat of his car. And that type of behavior certainly is consensual, and it certainly is private, but because it was done in a parking lot in a car, you can't argue that it was discreet, because somebody, in fact, witnessed it. So, and then the last mitigating factor is the individual has successfully completed a program of treatment. This is important. The Edmonds Law Firm uses experts in these cases, and the experts evaluate psychologically and emotionally our clients and the type of behavior that is the subject matter of the statement of reasons. So you really have to create a lot of mitigating evidence that in this case is from an expert. If you use the wrong expert, it's going to be useless and the report will be given very little weight. At the Edmonds Law Firm, we use experts across the United States because we represent people around the country. We have offices, as you know, from coast to coast, and we represent both active duty military and civilians. But we use a format in our office for guideline D cases. We've done over 3,500 cases, so we know the drill, so to speak. In the instant case, we had a young woman that made a mistake, and certainly alcohol was involved, and she got caught in this very, very compromising position of public lewdness in a car. She didn't contend that she was being coerced or anything. She admitted early on that she was consensually agreeing to this behavior with this individual. And the whole case came down to mitigation. This woman had a impairment, so to speak, a hearing impairment. She was a American Sign Language user. And she was a very accomplished individual, had gone to college, had accomplished a lot of things with her disability. And we were able to show that this was an isolated incident and it happened under circumstances unlikely to reoccur, and it hasn't. We showed that the behavior was not subject to coercion or exploitation because she admitted, she self-reported this incident. Her family was aware of it, so this was not a deep, dark secret. The government also filed under Guideline J, which is criminal conduct. And I've talked about this in previous podcasts. The government can and will try and use the same behavior to raise a variety of allegations under the guidelines. And in this case, they used it for Guideline D, sexual behavior, but they also used it for Guideline J, criminal behavior. And both were alleged in the statement of reasons, and we had to respond formally to both of those cases. Now, you have to understand something. The formal response is just that. Our response was over 25 pages long, and we responded to Guideline D in writing with exhibits and Guideline J, criminal conduct. Under criminal conduct, the government says criminal activity creates doubt about a person's judgment, reliability, and trustworthiness, and calls in to question their ability to comply with laws, rules, and regulations. So the mitigating factors, however, are very similar to Guideline D, which is so much time has lapsed or happened under circumstances unlikely to reoccur. And the other is that there's evidence of successful rehabilitation. Again, this is a question of preparation and a question of correct documentation. You just can't go into court without evidence. Simply testifying in court isn't sufficient without corroborating evidence. Now, the beauty of this case is that our lawyers and our legal team cut this off after the SOR. This woman never went to a security clearance hearing. We did something that's highly unusual. It's a pretty regular occurrence here, but we don't guarantee it for each and every case. But our written response was so compelling, so powerful, that the government said we are going to reinstate her clearance, and there was no security clearance hearing. So she saved thousands of dollars because she didn't have to go to a hearing. And there's something else embedded in this for you, a lesson. We don't charge a huge fee out front for services that you're not going to use. There are many lawyers that would charge $5,000 to $10,000 on this case, and they would say that includes the hearing. And then if the hearing didn't occur, there may or may not be any opportunity for a refund. We don't operate that way at the Edmonds Law Firm. The clients pay for exactly what they need. We quote a flat fee. And for many clients, we offer a payment plan. We're here for you. We've been doing this a long, long time. So there's a lot of issues for you to consider in this case. I've tried to expose you to the strategy and the thought processes that are involved. It's really important that you not tackle these Guideline D and Guideline J cases by yourself. Call us, the Edmonds Law Firm, at 800-481-2526. And I want to thank you for your questions. Your questions really precipitate a lot of these podcasts, because these podcasts are in response to your questions. So please call me at any time, 800-481-2526. And don't forget to look at all of our YouTube videos. They're very poignant and deal with specific issues, again, arising from your questions. We have podcasts like this that appear on Spotify and Apple, so you should do that. And then finally, we have a national hotline, so to speak. It's called securityclearanceshotline.com. And you can dial the 800 number, 481-2526, or you can go into your web browser, and Security Clearances Hotline is available to you for quick questions and quick answers. This is Attorney Alan Edmonds. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.